As of yesterday in the state of Minnesota, there have been 55,947 positive tests of COVID-19, with a one-day increase of 769 cases. Current numbers on deaths in the state due to coronavirus are 1,614 deaths, with an additional probable 40. And the good news is COVID-19 patients that are no longer needing isolation are at a number of 48,847. Just a reminder, the top three likely exposure sources cited by the Minnesota Department of Health are community contact, where you don't know who gave it to you, known community contact, where you might know, well, yeah, I went to a birthday party and there were, you know, X number of people there, and my friend Sue tested positive, where you know exactly who it's from. And then, of course, congregate living facilities are another place where transmission does seem to be happening. New cases over the weekend, I'll just list a few in the counties around us. St. Louis County confirmed 427 cases. 44 of those are since Friday. Deaths are up to 19, and there was one over the weekend. Crow Wing County, 192 confirmed cases, 13 deaths. Beltrami, 191 cases. There were seven additional cases over the weekend. We have had no deaths in Beltrami County. And Ashley Hudson used to actually live in Beltrami County. I met Ashley. We were in a theatrical experience together. She has been a COVID responder in New York City. She's generally based in Memphis, where she tends to COVID patients. And right now, she's in Miami as a COVID responder. I reached out to her sometime at the end of last week and just wondered if she would take time to talk on the morning show about what she's seeing out there on the front lines. And she was kind enough to say, yes, I will take time out of my busy life to talk to you about what I'm seeing. So I'm so grateful that she was open to that. She just got off her night shift of taking care of COVID patients. Good morning, Ashley Hudson.
Hello, Katie. How are you?
I'm great.
I'm honored to be on the show today.
Well, I am honored that you took time to talk to us. You just got off a night shift.
Yes.
How was your shift?
Here at this hospital that I am currently working at in Miami is a level one trauma center. So I typically do med-surg and telemetry, which means that general population, after you leave the ER, you come to us. In New York, it was a little bit different. Every region of the United States has their own way of doing things, but all of the patients were COVID patients.
Okay.
So normally the ratio is between 1 to 4 all the way up to 1 to 7. So it just depends on what's going on.
So you know you're getting COVID patients. Those are the patients
Correct.
You're going to get. Okay.
Correct.
So what kinds of care are COVID patients receiving?
Besides having COVID, you know, the general population needs to know that we don't just treat COVID patients with COVID. A lot of times they come in with other things like pneumonia or not necessarily due to COVID. It just depends. But they come in with congestive heart failure. They come in, you know, because they had acute renal failure situation or they need dialysis. They just so happen to have COVID. So when you are dealing with patients that have COVID, the level of care, you know, as far as the difficulty is different. Like, I'll talk to friends and they say, hey, Ashley, is everyone on a vent? Do you think that you'll have to put majority of your patients on a vent? No, I do not. But that has improved with time. The first wave of COVID, I was in New York City, which, you know, everyone heard all the stories. We had, you know, a lot of patients on ventilators. We had a lot of fatalities. And now we're moving to the point to where we want to prevent the number of cases, but if we have to have COVID around and people are becoming positive, we want them to be able to take care of them to the point where they can get well and move forward and not have such a high rate of fatalities. neither situation is great, but we want to get people to the point to where they can get better, they can recover, finish recovering at home, and move on with their daily lives. I'm saying that the biggest fear is we don't want to pass the virus to anyone else. Or how do we conduct, you know, our daily lives? What is the future going to look like for us, you know, once we have recovered after becoming positive? So when you're dealing with these patients, it's on a case-by-case basis. And, you know, you have to realize that most of these patients cannot see their families because different hospitals have restrictions. You know, most hospitals right now have went to no visitors. Certain circumstances you can't, like if the person's on hospice or you have a person with some type of mental disability and they need a parent or a family member to be there with them. And then the care goes beyond that. And I'll give you a chance to ask me more questions. I'm just, you know, excited to talk about it, and I really want to get the word out about the types of care that those patients receive, or other patients. But in this particular case, we are providing extra care because we're not just, you know, healthcare professionals. We're your family. We, you know, we're there with you, and we do different types of care for the individual, depending on what is best for them. Not just about health-wise, it's also about mental and emotional support as well.
It's so much. So have you seen a difference as far as how medical professionals are coming at this thing? You've been on the front lines since the beginning. Have you seen differences in how care is conducted?
Yes, I have. I think as we move along, healthcare professionals are not as afraid of, you know, coronavirus and dealing with COVID as they were before. You know, before we got to New York, we just went through phases. Like, it was like, okay, we wear a gown and we wear gloves. Now we're to the point to where we wear a face shield, we wear N95. And we have seen how, you know, we can protect ourselves and not get infected versus before, we had no idea what we were walking into. And that's always a scary thing for anyone, any situation that you're in. But as far as the level of care, you feel more confident caring for an individual, knowing that, you know, you can safeguard yourself and you can tell them ways to keep their family members safe, even if they are positive.
Yeah.
Some of the ways that we have learned to care for patients, especially, like I said, with the dynamic of not having family members around, is aromatherapy. Sometimes we can get aromatherapy approved for patients, music therapy. I've given patients massages and just different things like that. Just talking, how are you feeling, FaceTiming. Smartphones come in handy and iPads. FaceTiming, just making phone calls. Or we, in New York, we had patients who, you know, you can't speak on a vent. You can't talk on a vent. A lot of times they're sedated, or they'll just let up the sedation up enough for them to be able to look around. So, you know, you're FaceTiming or you're talking to a family member and you say, hey, you know, just wanted to let you know that we're thinking about you and we love you. You know, it means so much to have that type of connection.
Oh, absolutely.
When you can easily have none. So the care has moved to not just giving medications, which, you know, we always cared before, but this is something different that we haven't experienced in the history of medicine or, you know, in our time in civilization besides the flu of 1918. You know, this is something that we're dealing with directly and that has affected our lives personally. So I think along with wellness as far as treatment is concerned, you also have to treat the individual. And along the way, we have learned to take better care of our patients and ourselves.
How How do you take care of yourself as far as your mental health? I mean, you are really facing a lot.
I am a very busy person. And when I, you know, go to work, I'm all in. I'm there. I'm nowhere else. So a lot of times it's hard to separate that in your daily life when you're surrounded by the same thing. It's like, you know, at work, I know I'm going into COVID, and then, you know, I'm off work, but I still have to wear a mask everywhere. I still have to conduct myself in regular society. I'm glad that you asked me that question. Some of the things that I do personally, so whenever I get off work or whenever I go to a store or a restaurant, I always keep hand sanitizer with me at all times. That's just like our lifeline right now. Hand sanitizer and toilet paper is gold. But just, you know, when I get back home, I immediately put everything in a washer. Everything I wear, I put it in the washer, and I get straight in the shower. Disinfectant wipes. I'm a nurse, so I've always had so many wipes. I wipe everything down. So I come in, I put my keys, my phone in a designated area, and I'll wipe it with a Clorox wipe or a disinfectant wipe, and I let that dry. And like I said, I immediately, if I'm not going to jump in the shower, I immediately wash my hands. Soap and water is your best friend, always. I don't care how much hand sanitizer we have. Soap and water will always just flush that bacteria or whatever you have on your body down the drain. And I know that a lot of people don't have access to some of the wipes and the hand sanitizer, and that's another reason why soap and water is important as well, because you can always find a place to wash your hands for the most part. So is that, has sanitizer and disinfectant wipes, has that been an issue in northern Minnesota? Have you guys had problems with finding that in stores? Or?
Well, that's funny that you say that. It seems more readily available now, but just like toilet paper across the country, I mean, there was a run on hand sanitizer for sure.
Right.
And alcohol, things like that. But I feel like it's leveling out, but maybe I'm just hitting the stores at the right times. I'm not sure. But I do have hand sanitizer in my purse now, Ashley, so I'm sanitizing as much as I can. I don't know. It just seems to be leveling out. At the same time, our numbers are going up in northern Minnesota as far as positive cases, so we need to stay vigilant.
I want to throw something out there. So I had a small get-together at my house. Yes, I could not resist, and I had a small get-together during the 4th of July period, and I was so nervous.
You went to a get together at 4th of July? Is that what you said?
No. I had my own get together because I hadn't seen anyone in months.
Oh my gosh, Ashley, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. I still didn't hear about 4th of July. Try it again. I think I can
now.
Me? Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I had a small get together at my house during the 4th of July period.
Okay.
So I was so nervous about it, and I know everyone is like, you know, if you can social distance and stay apart, and it was a lot of work. So I was so afraid, not telling anyone to, you know, do this. I probably wouldn't wish this on anyone because, like I said, by the time I was done, I was completely drained. But I had a few people over, and I had this long list of do's and don'ts, and it was so, you know, strict. Like, no one could touch anything but me. Like, you know, the food, I can only make the food. Anything you want to drink, which I didn't mind. I'm a hostess, but I'm just saying, if you're going to get together, you have to be prepared to step outside of the ordinary and do things you wouldn't normally do just to stay safe and sanitized.
Yes.
And for the general public, I've been reading things, and I look at TV just like everyone, and, you know, they want to come to healthcare professionals and say, what can we do to stay calm? What can we do to stress relieve? I like to read articles. I like to read, short stories. I like to
I love aromatherapy. I'm a big aromatherapy person, lavender, eucalyptus, things like that. I stretch. I like to do yoga, do a little bit of yoga. And sometimes it's just good to just sit and just clear the mind. Take a few breaths in and out each day for a few minutes. Just sit in complete silence and just dwell on what's going on around you. So those are some of the things I do. And most of all, I try to stay off social media.
Yeah.
And I've learned that that's something that I'll have to do just because there's so many opinions and things thrown at you at once on top of, you know, a stress level that you don't realize that you have.
Right. That's all such good advice. And you know what? I have to go. We have to go.
Okay.
But thank you for your time today. And thanks for all you're doing out there in the face of COVID.
Well, thank you very much for having me and inviting me anytime.
Thank you.
Guys have a great day.
Hey, Ashley, thank you so much. Thanks for the good advice.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye. That was Ashley Hudson. She's a traveling nurse. She's based in Memphis. She's been in New York City. She's now in Miami. And, of course, when she goes back to Memphis, she's in Memphis. And she's working with COVID patients all the time, wherever she's at. She used to live here in Bemidji. And take her advice. Get some hand sanitizer. Get that stuff in your bag. Wash your hands a lot. Take your clothes off when you get home. She had a lot of really good advice. And also take some time for some mental health.